And he also had a glimpse into the spirit world. And when he went in the spirit world, I saw some extracts from his book in a compilation of visions of the spirit realm. And he described how the wicked spirits have a place that surround the earth. Similar. So that we realize there's something there. Different people describing. And then people like Sadhu Sundar Singh describing the same realm. And people like Howard Pittman, I'm not sure whether he's still alive, but he wrote the book Demons and Eyewitness Account. And he went into the realm of the spirit, and God showed him the demon world. And the same thing, they put their tones on the atmospheric heaven. And personally, I also had a vision of the spirit world, and I saw the same darkness surrounding the earth. It's real out there. The spirit world is invisible to the natural eyes, but those whose eyes are open to see it occasionally, as God permits, same thing. And here is where, number one, it must be in line with everything that has been seen in the world. The reason I say that is because as visions abound, sometimes people's visions are not so accurate. And secondly, it must have a harmony with all the so-called visions I've seen so far. Last year, somebody passed me a book of one written by a lady who was supposed to be a prophetess. And the whole book was filled with visions. And she described. But there's a very funny thing. Some of her descriptions of the realm of God and the spirit world was slightly different from what everybody else had. Like, for example, she described how she met Father God. And as she was looking into Father God's eyes, she got a bit near to Father God. And then she noticed Father God has a little horn coming out from his head. I got very concerned when I read that. It's a true book. I have it in my library. But this same lady is full of the word. She has written a book, a counseling book that gives scriptures for every problem known to humanity. But she moved into this realm of vision, and there's this part that I like to put on the shelf for a while. And that's where, as we move into the spirit realm, the reason we're touching on that is because Ezekiel moved so deep that we need to have some guidelines. The word still needs to have guidelines. Only a few days back, I was counseling with a brother, and he's quite new in the things of the spirit, but he has started moving into prophecy. And as he moved into prophecy, one day he was the reason he came to see me was, see, there were only two times in our church, and that was the second time that we have ever interrupted a prophecy halfway. And so one day he was prophesying, and when he got into a certain area, we have our style of interrupting also, in such a way that you wouldn't know that we interrupted. So when he started prophesying the certain things that I have a check in my spirit, we went forward and we slowly took the microphone from him, and then slowly start singing a song. So nobody knows. But he knows and I know. And so he came and we were counseling together. He wanted to find out why.
So I said that the first reason is because your prophecy started going out of the word. Because the prophecy started touching on the last days, and it started prophesying that one third will be raptured up, two third left behind. We allow people to make mistakes, but we have also a certain guideline. Alright, mistakes in style, so-so. Mistakes in voice and in other areas, we give chance. But when you start going outside God's word, that's where we step in. So when he started prophesying that part, I tiptoed slowly to the front, took the mic and started singing a song. Then we continue the prophecy after that. So the first reason is because it was outside the word. And as counseling him, he said that when he prophesied, he's excited about moving the realm of the spirit. Very excited, sincere, born again, washed in the blood, baptized in Holy Ghost, Bible carrying, demon chasing, you know, all kinds of things. And then he made this statement, which we want to take note as we want to move in the realm of the spirit. He says, isn't the realm of the spirit above principles? I said, never. Because the spirit of the prophet is always subject to the prophet. 1 Corinthians 14. There are still guidelines, no matter how deep you move into the spirit. We are saying this for foundation for the next thing we're going to say. And so the first is, it was outside God's word. Then the other request we make, we only make two requests after that. I said, if you have any personal prophecy to anybody, if it's quite general and good, well, we can give time to prophesy if it's good. But personal prophecy, try to give it personally. That was our second request. And he's good, he abide by it, he was teachable, and he flow along with it. But we know that that was the second time we've ever done it in 5 years in our church. But as we all know, that the realm of the spirit is an interesting, powerful realm. But yet it's a realm that's guided by God's word. Now here is where we begin to see how deep Ezekiel moved into in the realm of the spirit. After the Lord spoke to him, and you notice in this book, he keep falling under the power all the time. When he saw the glory of God, the last words of chapter 1, he says, when I saw it, I fell on my face. Boom. Then he started talking to me. Then in verse chapter 2, verse 1, the Lord says, son of man, stand on your feet and I'll speak to you. You heard people fall under the power with you. See people stand under the power. See, a lot of strange things happen in Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. The spirit of the Lord entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. So he fell down. Boom. Then he go. If you haven't seen it, one day you may see it. People fall under the power can stand under the power. And then the Lord started talking to him. And again the same thing, he has a scroll in chapter 3 verse 1. Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate it and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Now these things, although we like to spiritualize it and say they represent this, represent that, which is true, but personally after going to the realm of spirit, I realized that these are very true things too. There is such a thing as real manna. There's such a thing as a real edible spiritual scroll that is taken, and when it's taken, it's also like a spiritual impartation. For example, God can impart provision of oil or a jug in front of you, and then you may be drinking of it in the spirit, and actually in the spirit you are drinking it and you're partaking of it. This is one of the records. The other record we found is in the Apostle John's life, when John took the scroll and he ate it. It tastes the same thing. It was bitter and then sweet. Yeah, sweet and then bitter. And that is chapter 3. It says in verse 3, you feel your stomach. I ate it. It was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. And compare it to the book of Revelations. Cross-reference to Revelations. Chapter 10, verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. And the word bitter, bitter also has a sense of sourness. So that's when they invented sweet and sour book. So it was a prophetic, it was a prophetic impartation that came into his life. And do not take lightly the things of the spirit. Because every time there is something that you receive, there is something imparted. From that day onward, an anointing don't have to come through a mantle dropping on you. Otherwise, most prophets will have to go around carrying a piece of animal skin as a mantle. No, anointing don't have to come in that sense. Anointing can come sometimes through manifestations like this. Especially a prophetic anointing. A scroll that is given. And a strange thing that also took place in the same time as last week I was sharing about the 3-day total fast without food and water. A strange thing that took place also was that in the second night, third and last night of the fast was when I had the vision of the two mountains and the building. The second, I had a very, very strange dream. And in the dream, I saw a person came and gave a whole plate of white thing that looked like roti canai in the dream. And a whole plate of it. And came to the house, to a place where I was staying. I don't quite recognize the place. I was like in a house waiting, and the person came, and then came and brought it to me, and I took the thing, and in that dream, I ate the whole thing. The moment I ate it, I woke up. Of course, I realized I couldn't have got that dream because I was eating too much. In fact, I was not eating. It's the second day of a total fast. And of course, psychologists could interpret that as a subconscious way of wanting to eat. You could always interpret the other way. You know, every spiritual interpretation can have a natural interpretation. Just like if God spoke, the natural man said it thundered. The spiritual man said an angel spoke. So both try to explain in different ways. But I realized that something came out of that 3-day fast. Something came out of that. There was a difference in discernment that took place. I felt like eating it, my spirit really partook of something that came and became a part of the ministry. So I realize that God does impart things in the spirit in that manner.